Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And we are live on this Sunday morning. Happy Lord's Day, everybody. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter. We continue celebrating the resurrection of Christ. I wasn't live yesterday. I had to pre-tape because I was at a meeting of pro-life leaders here in Florida, various groups from around the state working to stop this pro-abortion amendment initiative that they'll have on the ballot in November. But today I'm here at my studios and I can see your comments, leave your prayer intentions if you like, and we will delve, as we usually do, into the Word of God, the Word of Life. Speaks about life today, of course. And let's put ourselves in the presence of God, and then we'll read from the Gospel of John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we rejoice in the greatest news of human history, that Christ Jesus is risen, that he has conquered death, that he has taken our humanity up to your throne. We are seated on the throne. We are already sharing in that eternal victory, that eternal life. We must yet struggle in this world, yet we have eternal life abiding in us now, and that is the source of our confidence and our strength. It shapes our mission. It impels us to proclaim your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for this joy that we celebrate in these Easter days. Continue to lead us on the road of repentance for our sins and proclamation of the gospel of life. May we build a culture of life and stop the violent onslaught of this Holocaust against children in the womb. Lord, we ask you for the protection of all children. The enemy always wants to destroy the children. Marxism always wants to take control of the children at every age. But it starts with the assault on the most defenseless, those yet in the womb. Lord, stop this violence and show us the part we need to play in bringing it to an end. Through Christ, the Good Shepherd, and our Lord. Amen. Okay, this reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and mine know me, just as the Father who knows me and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down, and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." We continue to celebrate the victory of life in the Easter season. And the victory of life, brothers and sisters, is the victory of love. It is Christ's love that leads us to life and restores life and destroys death, because it's that love that brought him to the cross. Let's go right to the core of this message of this reading. Paul says to the Romans that the Father did not spare his own son, but handed him over to death on the cross. Did not spare his own son. What's the explanation for that? How can a father not spare his own son? Isn't this absurd? How does that make sense? Handing your son over to death on the cross. Any father would know how that goes against every instinct of being a father. There's something more going on here, obviously. And it has to do with what he says in this passage. Paul says that to the Romans. Jesus says here, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. I lay it down, in this translation, on my own. By my own choice, through my own will, I lay down my life. How did the Father hand over the Son? Go a couple of verses up. The Father loves me. Last verse. This command I have received from my Father. So let's put all these pieces together. Jesus lays his life down freely for us. Why? Because he loves us. It's a love that he has for us, and Paul marvels at this, again to the Romans, saying, it's hard enough to die for a good person. You mean to say he laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners? And then you go to the first letter of John, and he says, here's how we know love. The word is just thrown around, has all kinds of different meanings. But how do we know what love is? First letter of John tells us, Jesus on the cross. We know love by looking at Jesus on the cross. It's a revelation. It's a teaching. It's a manifestation. We know love because he sacrificed himself for us, saying here, Jesus says, I do it freely. But then going back to this role of the Father. The Father gave his Son over to the cross. How? Jesus gives us the clue here. He says it's a command he received from the Father. And then he says, the Father loves me. We go back to eternity. In the life of God, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What are they doing? What do they do? What were they doing before they had to be concerned about all the things we mess up here in this world? Before creation, before they had to be concerned with leading the flock, before the flock even existed, what were they doing? Brothers and sisters, they were loving each other. The Father pouring himself out to the Son in infinite love. This command I have received from my Father is his love. His love, and then the love he pours out into the Son. How do we know he pours out love to the Son? Because he pours out everything to the Son. Remember, the only difference among the three persons of the Trinity is their relationship, not what they are. The substance is the same. It's the same mind, the same will, the same power, the same divinity. It's the same God. There's not a different, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but there are not three gods. It's the one God in three persons. Now, the Father gives everything to the Son. The Son going to the cross is a free act of love by him. No one takes my life from me. Remember in the garden when they came to arrest him? He asked them, we read this in the Gospel of John, whom are you looking for? And they say, Jesus the Nazarene. And then he says, I am. Now, some translations, I'm the one. I'm here. It's me. But then when you look at the verse closely, he's invoking the name of God. I am, the same name that God gave Moses from the burning bush when Moses said, who are you? You're sending me to Pharaoh to set the people free. Who are you? If he asks me who sent me, what do I say? And God said, I am. So Jesus in the garden makes it clear he's in charge. I am. And it's a fascinating verse there that follows. It says the soldiers. Now remember, they're the ones who are armed, not Jesus. They're the ones with the swords, the clubs, and the weapons, not Jesus. They are there in greater numbers than Jesus. He has a few apostles over there falling asleep. And yet, when Jesus says, I am, the soldiers, Scripture tells us, retreated and fell to the ground. They came to arrest him, but he arrested them. Power. Remember with the Peter strikes the ear of the high priest, cuts off the ear. Jesus says, put your sword back into your scabbard. Do you not think I could call on the Father And he could send 12 legions of angels and put a stop to all this. And Jesus touched the man and healed his ear. He was in complete control. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. This command, that is, this love, I have received from my Father. When? From all eternity. It's the love that the Father pours out into the Son that leads him to the cross. So it's not a Father, going back to that question, how can the Father hand over the Son to the cross? It's not the question of a Father not caring about his Son. It's just the opposite. The Father, who is love, God is love, pouring out so much love into the Son that he freely gives himself for us to save us. And so Jesus illustrates this also elsewhere by saying, greater love than this no one has than to lay down his life for his friends. And then going back to the first letter of John, he says, brothers and sisters, he laid down his life for us. And then he gives the essential pro-life game plan. He says, so we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. There it is. It's the power of love that is revealed on the cross. That's the power to lay down his life. We understand the power to take it up again. We see the mighty resurrection. He has power over death. He walks out of his own grave. You know, there's an earthquake on Easter morning. The angels come. The stone is rolled away. And then again, there's a little detail in the Gospel of Matthew, the resurrection account. What does the angel do after rolling the stone away? Remember, the stone symbolizes death, separating whoever's in the tomb from the whole outside world. There's a finality to it. It's a heavy stone. The women were also wondering as they were walking, who's going to roll away that stone? Sort of like a symbolic question, who's going to overcome death? Who's going to overcome the evils in the world? The angel rolls the stone away, and then, you remember the detail? What's the detail there that the angel does after rolling away the stone? The angel sat on it. The angel sat on it. Purposely. This stone isn't rolling back again. So as to say, for those who think that the finality on the end of the human story is death, I am here to proclaim a different finality, life. I am here to proclaim that the stone has been rolled away, and that's the final word. Death will no longer separate human beings from one another, from the world, from the God who created them. I am putting a period at the end of the sentence, enough of death. The angel sat on the stone. I have power to lay down my life and power to take it up again. We see the power to take it up. We see the power of Easter. We see the earthquake. We see the stone rolled away. There's power there. The women knew they couldn't roll the stone away, but lo and behold, the power to take up life again was about to be revealed to them. And so we have power too. God will raise us. But in the meantime, now, as we await the resurrection, we have the power each day that Jesus talks about here. The power to lay down our lives. Greater love than this no one has than to lay down his life for his friends. John, he sacrificed himself to us, for us. So must we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So spouses, united in the vows of marriage, I give myself to you. Power in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, for whatever days and years God will give us on this earth, I give myself to you, I pledge myself to you, I vow myself to you. God, the spouses are not the only ones making vows at the wedding ceremony. It's God making a vow. That's why marriage is a sacrament, sacramentum. The sacrament is an oath. I will be here to pour out my love into you, just like I, the Father, pour out that love into the Son so that he can go to the cross. God is swearing to you, those of you that are married, you took vows, God took a vow, a sacramentum. And he said, I am going to pour out my love into you so that you can do what? So that you can do what I did. So that you can do what my son did. So that you can give yourself to one another. So that you can lay down your life. No one takes your life from you. You lay it down freely. That's spouse to spouse. Parents to children. And this is the antidote to abortion. You know what Mother Teresa said? And I talked to her about this, and she said it in her prayer breakfast speech back in 1994. She said, here's how we end abortion. We teach the mother to love. There's the power. What's the power to end abortion? The power of love. Because we teach her how to lay down her life for that child. Not that she has to sacrifice her life physically for every child that she bears, but she has to give herself completely. We teach her how to do that, Mother Teresa said. That's the power. Parents to their children. I sacrifice myself for you. I have the power to lay down my life. Priests to their congregation. And that leads us up here earlier in the reading to the shepherd. Those who are clergy are meant to be good shepherds. But Jesus contrasts the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep with the one who's just looking for the money. This has so many problems among the clergy, and so much abuse of authority has to do with the money. They work for pay. We have to pray in a particular way that clergy will be freed from this lust for money. The love of money, Paul says, the love of money, the root of every evil. And we see very frequently in church leaders this lust for money. I encountered it many times myself. Now, you know, I don't talk much about, I've shared it completely publicly, every detail, but I don't keep going back over and over about what happened to me. But I can tell you that in the battles with some of the bishops in the Catholic Church, you got this love of money that is very palpable. When they were trying to get me to step away from my full-time pro-life work with Priests for Life, something that I simply could not do, they kept asking me, well, where's the money coming from and where is it going? Well, we told them. We're transparent about our finances. We get annual audits, post them on our website. Oh, where's the money coming from or where is it going? Well, I told you. No, well, where's the money coming from or where is it going? But I told you already. Oh, we want to see the check registry. We didn't have to do that. This is the bishop asking me. But we did it anyway. We showed him the check registry. Gave him a copy of the check. Here's exactly the check. You want to know where the money's coming from? Where's it going? Here's the check registry. To this day, even though we told them, you have any questions, you let us know. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll analyze all your financial reports and let you know if we have any problems. And then they never got back to us after that, after our attorneys demanded that they stop asking for materials we had already sent. And then after the Vatican looked over our ministry and said, contrary to popular reports and people who are publicly calling into question the finances of this ministry, we find that everything is in good order. Despite all that, some of these shepherds, to this very day, will keep raising questions and doubts about the finances of our ministry. It's a common tactic of the left. Common tactic. And this reading here puts the Jesus himself puts his finger on the problem. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. God deliver us from that. Now, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Because of this reading, it's a day of prayer for vocations. It's a day of prayer that will get more priests. Well, listen, God is calling many to serve his church, not just as priests, but as deacons, religious brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters, many are not hearing that call. We have to help them to hear it. We have to encourage them to be generous. It's another power of laying down our life for our flock. But you know what I always say is the most important thing to do to foster vocations? I say to everybody, the diocese, the bishops, you know, sometimes they have these fancy ad campaigns to try to attract people to the priesthood. They'll have these special retreats and gatherings, come and see, and all of that is good. But there is one thing above all that bishops and dioceses and all of us in the church need to do to attract more priests. And you know what that is? Treat well the ones we've already got. Because there's a lot of failure right in that arena. Treat well the ones you already have. You want to attract more. You want God to send you more vocations. God is looking at what you're doing with the ones He already sent you. And there's a lot of mistreatment and intimidation. And of the priests that are already serving. And not only that, you ordain them, they lay the hands on us, they present us with the book of the Gospels, they tell us to preach the Gospel, and then very often what happens? I start preaching it, and then they tell you to shut up. I mean, literally. They intimidate priests and deacons. I know a good number of priests right now who have told me that they have been told to shut up about the very Gospel that they were ordained to preach. Brothers and sisters, if this sounds crazy to you, there's one simple reason. It is. It's absolutely nuts. And yet this is what's happening. So, you know, on the one hand, a day like today comes along, oh, we want more vocations. Oh, please, Lord, send us more priests. And God is saying, yeah, we're going to send you more priests. To do what? To do what? Priests are sent to preach the word of God, to preach the Gospel, to preach the teachings of the church. And Scripture says you preach it whether convenient or inconvenient, in season, out of season, welcome or unwelcome. And I can show you letters that bishops have sent out to their parishes saying, don't preach anything that's going to make the people of God angry or going to divide people. Think about that for a moment in the light of what happened to Jesus. Don't preach anything that's going to get the people angry. I mean, I've read all these scriptures. I mean, is there some place in here that says that? Did I miss it? Did they erase it? Where is it? Anybody knows a scripture passage that says that? Oh, wait a minute. What it says actually is, we're supposed to preach whether it's welcome or unwelcome. Yeah, that's it. This is a strange moment. And that's why this Gospel is more important than ever in this moment in the church's history. Because the Good Shepherd doesn't leave the sheep and run away when the wolf catches and scatters them. What was the wolf? In other passages in the New Testament, we read about the wolves. In the Old Testament too. The false prophets. Those who are going to destroy people's minds and hearts and souls with false doctrine, fake teachings, deceptive words, fake messiahs, empty promises, contradictions of the truth that has been handed on to us already. Pay no attention to them. Paul warns people there will be some who come along and preach false gospels. He says, if we ourselves or an angel from heaven preaches to you a gospel other than what you have received, and here it is, friends, we've received it in black and white, don't listen to them. In fact, he says, let them be anathema. Dissociate from them. No, we have a good shepherd, and we have many good shepherds serving in the church. And we ourselves strive to be good shepherds. Parents, you are shepherds to your children. All of us can be shepherds to anyone within the sphere of our influence. And brothers and sisters, never lose confidence in the power of the Word of God that has been entrusted to us. Because it has a power of its own. The Word has a power of its own. We preach the Gospel, that effectiveness doesn't rely solely on our ingenuity and our creativity and how we are going to best articulate the message. Yes, we have to bring skill to the task. You know, we have preaching courses in seminary. We get up in front of our classmates and give a sample sermon, and then everybody critiques it in a positive way and shows us how to do better. But listen, that cannot replace the fire of faith in the heart of the preacher. All the training in the world cannot substitute for the faith, the passion, the burning desire that has to be in that preacher to give that word to the people. They've got to know that he's passionate about it. They've got to know that he actually believes it. They need to see him living it. That's how the word spreads. Let's pray not just for more vocations. Let's pray for passionate preachers of the Word of God who are afraid of nobody except God himself, who don't care about offending people, but care first and foremost that they won't offend Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, let's pray for good shepherds. Amen. Lord, we continue to celebrate the resurrection. Your resurrection, Lord Jesus. You have power to lay down your life, the power of love. Infuse us again with that power. Renew the outpouring of that grace on us, your people. Lord, we intercede for one another on this Lord's Day. Strengthen the weak, console the sorrowing, counsel the doubtful. Lord God, heal the sick. Heal the sick. We pray for your healing grace on all who are ill. Raise the dead. We commend to you all those who have departed from this world. And Lord, we pray peace over Israel and over all war-torn parts of the world. And we pray for an end to terrorism. We pray for an end to abortion. And we pray for wisdom in these elections that we are now in the midst of, these elections. Give wisdom to the voters and help them to discern the difference between tyranny and freedom. Help them to see the importance of the issues that matter most. Enable them, Lord, to vote not in a selfish way, but in a self-giving way, and bring us victory. And now we sum up our prayers in the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Okay, friends, busy week ahead. I'll be going to Heartbeat International. I'll be here at my office tomorrow, but then Tuesday I have to head to Salt Lake City. And the annual conference that I'm at every year of Heartbeat International Pregnancy Center directors and staff will be gathering, thousands of people. There are three major pregnancy center conferences each year. I go to them all. This one happens always at this time of year, and it's a great gathering of folks who are saving lives every day. I'll be on the scene, and I'll be bringing you photos and commentary on social media, so make sure to stay connected with me at Fr. Frank Pavone. And nevertheless, we'll still be bringing you these daily scriptures. Sometimes we have to pre-tape them, and you won't miss out on this, but stay tuned to my platforms for updates about the pregnancy conference as well. And stay on for just a little while longer, and I'm going to just share with you a couple of special messages now. God bless, and happy Lord's Day.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
Hello, this is Father David Begany, one of the many members of Priest for Life nationwide. The Priest for Life team travels the country and the world spreading the pro-life message and is happy to come to your community, your events, and your churches. If you are interested in inviting them, please contact speakerrequest.com and fill out the form. God bless you for your pro-life commitment.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.